You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
There's some Yankees notes I'd like to get into as well. Britton, they pick up his option, and Brett Gardner, they do not. Does not mean that Brett Gardner will not be back. It just means they're not going to pay him $10 million next year, but I still fully expect him to be back. But today, and what is a very cold, a sunny day, but a cold, cold day, today is the day, people, that you've been waiting for. And here's the only way I can equate it. If you said to me, and I mean this sincerely, you can have Mike Trout, or you can have Steve Cohen, I wouldn't even have to think twice about it. If you had said, Dave, you can add Gerrit Cole or you can have Steve Cohen, I'm not thinking twice about it. Do you understand, people, the magnitude of the fortune of the Mets right now? They have just been purchased by your knight in shining armor. Really. I mean, this is a huge, and there are going to be people and probably Yankees fans, and I'm just going to kind of push you to the side because I don't know how you can have a negative take on what is really, really, and I don't think this is hyperbole, one of the great days in Mets history. You could argue that since 2015 in the World Series, this is the best day the Mets have had since then. You know, Wilpon took over in, I think it was 80, and they were the laughing stock of baseball. And again, I want it to be understood that Wilpon was not all bad, right? Pre-Bernie Madoff and having to return a lot of the money and not having the fortune that they've had, the Wilpons were not looked at as the laughing stock owners of Major League Baseball. But for the last, I don't know, you tell me, 7, 8 years, it has been awful. And they have operated like a small market team. Let me tell you, that day is over. You now have the wealthiest owner in all of baseball by 3.5 times. So I've heard people say, I want the foundation to change. I want this team to hire the best scouts and the best analytic guys and the best GMs. I want that too. And I've heard people say, I want to go out and spend big money. I want to sign Trevor Bauer, and I want JT Realmuto, and I want George Springer. I want that too. I want all of it. And you know what? It's the first time that you can ever remember the Mets actually have a chance to get all of it. If you're not celebrating, and you saw how angry people were getting at the end when de Blasio was potentially getting involved, and this thing could fall apart, or so we thought, and maybe, just maybe, Steve Cohen was not going to wind up with this team, people were becoming agitated, and rightfully so. And that day is now done. You now have your owner. By a vote of 26-4, and de Blasio in the mayor's office put out a statement yesterday. I saw it on Twitter, and it said, It's fine. He's approved. It's done. Wash your hands. This is a celebratory day. In a year that has been as bad as any year, probably the worst year in the history of our lives, right? I can't imagine anybody would call up today and say, no, 76 or whatever. This is the worst year that you ever remember. Well, at least you have a little bit of a silver lining. This is a monumental day. You have an owner who has more money than any owner in baseball, and then the second highest owner in baseball, and then the third wealthiest owner in baseball. That's what you have right now if you're the Mets. This is a guy that spends a lot of money on a lot of things. And the thought process has to be, he's going to want to win. He's going to want to win now. He's going to want to turn this into the preeminent franchise in all of baseball. This is a reason for actual celebration. I am more excited today in turning on this microphone and getting involved in the Mets conversation than I have been any day since the Mets beat the Cubs and played the Royals in the World Series in 2015. This goes down as one of those days. This goes down as 86. This goes down as 88, which is good until it wasn't. This goes down as 2015. This goes down as one of the great days in the history of this franchise. Really. I mean, today goes down. You talk about the Piazza home run on 9/21/11. This is right below it in my mind. Right below 86, and the ball goes through Bill Buckner's legs. Right below it. This is a red letter day if you're a Mets fan. And we're going to get to a lot of Mets calls. And you can't have a negative take on it. You can't. You get the wealthiest owner in baseball by 3.5 times. What possibly could you have that's negative to say? You can't. So he's going to change the infrastructure. They're going to become analytical. And remember, when you handle a franchise, when you just don't have the money, you just don't spend the money. So the Mets don't have the scouts. The Mets don't have the analytical department. The Mets don't have all the pieces that, for instance, the Yankees have. Because you don't have that kind of money. So you tend to cut corners. And then you tend to think outside the box. And then you hire a GM that probably should have never been hired. And you reach and you reach and you reach. You ever chased anything? You ever go to Atlantic City, and probably most of you haven't, and good for you, and you get behind a little bit, and you start to chase. You're like, oh, God. Now I'm down $150. I don't want to be down $150. Let me go a little bigger. All of a sudden, you wind up in a jam. Well, that's what the Mets are. That's what the Mets have been. It's like, well, we got to think outside the box. We need to find a guy that can get this done. Well, Brody Van Wagner, he knows all these players. And maybe he'll be great. But that maybe has not panned out. He was not good. He has not been good. He's almost, for lack of a better term, kind of decimated your franchise with the trades that he's made, with the players that he's shipped on. But now, it's your knight in shining armor. And it is. And you have to be excited if you're a Mets fan. You absolutely, unequivocally have to be. So today's a big day, and you should be excited, and rightfully so. So we're going to get calls from Yankees fans. We're going to say, oh, please, we're still the team in town. I'm not going to argue that. This is still a Yankees town. But I remember a day in the mid-80s, going to school, middle school, Long Island, and all anybody wanted to talk about was the New York Mets. Strawberry, Hernandez, Carter, Gooden, Darling, Orozco. It's all anybody wanted to talk about. Is that day around the corner again? I don't know. But the day of the Mets being irrelevant and the day of the Mets saying, oh, we just missed out on this guy. Why did we miss out on this guy? We just don't have the money that team has. Is done. Put it to rest on Halloween 2020. 800-919-3776. Free agency starts tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, November 1, Realmuto, Bauer, Springer, you think he's not going to make a splash? And I'm going to get a splash of this, and then I'm going to get things changed at the back end. It's a different Mets team. It's a new world on Halloween of 2020.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I mean, the Mets with an owner who can buy anything he wants, any player he wants, any GM he wants, any manager he wants. That's the world. It's a new world, Mets fans. It's a new world. And this would be the time of the show that we typically bring in the producer of the show, one Ty D. Butler. You know him from the Newhouse School of Communications. Good morning, Ty. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and I got to say, man, once that news was announced yesterday, the first person I thought of was the great Dave Rothenberg, Mets fan extraordinaire.
Did you think of me and you were excited for me?
Yes, I'm going to be, like, honestly, like you think I troll and I make fun of you.
Because you do.
Sometimes I do, but I saw your tweet. I'm going to pull it up. I was excited. I think you tweeted just hashtag LFGM.
That's right.
We all know what that means.
Oh, we know.
We do.
The F we're not going to say, but the LGM is Let's Go Mets.
Let's Go Mets.
And then there's a Randy side to it if you include the F, which we won't.
We won't do that. But
no.
Listen, I'm excited for you, and I got to be honest about this as well. As a Yankee fan, a little bit nervous because it is absolutely on the table that the next World Series won in New York could be by your New York Mets.
See, and if you're a Mets fan and you hear that, so you're just waking up today, you're having your cup of coffee, your feet are up on the couch, and you're listening to the show. And you hear Ty, who's a bright, well-informed, educated, articulate young man. Yankees fan, passionate Yankees fan, still feels the pain of what happened a couple weeks ago. And you hear him say that he thinks it's well within realistic possibility that the Mets are the next champions in New York as far as baseball is concerned. Guys, Don't you see? Don't you get it? Any of those, well, we really wanted fill in the player, but we just couldn't afford. That's done. That's over. That does not exist anymore. In fact, if I said to you, Ty, this morning, what team is really going to be more conscious when it comes to the bottom line, you'd have to imagine it's the Yankees, wouldn't you?
Yes. They've been doing a lot of overspending.
This upsets you, doesn't it? This upsets you. This scares you. You're terrified. I hear it in your voice.
I would say that in the immediate future, like upon learning that, it doesn't upset me because, again, I'm excited for New York City to have that electricity as far as baseball is concerned. Like, you want it in basketball with the Knicks and Nets. You want it in football with the Jets and Giants. And now
we don't have it in basketball.
We don't
have it in football. We have the opposite of it in football. We have just people that are, you know, resigned to the fact that these teams are going to be awful. But I think it's here, and I think it's here now.
Yes. So, like, right now, I'm excited, but I won't lie. If we get to August, September, and the Mets are running away with the NL East, and the Yankees are just, you know, not average. We know they're going to be good, but there's
a
chance.
The Yankees are the second favorite to win the World Series next year. I don't think all of a sudden on the drop of a hat the Mets are going to start running away with the NL East, but I think you're going to see a change. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets sign Real Muto. Like, here's the thing. I know the Yankees want him. I know the Phillies want to keep him. I mean, if you're Steve Cohen and you just took over this team and you have more money than you know what to do with, why would you not say, I don't care. This is my guy. Mm-hmm. This is my guy. Go get him.
Yeah. I don't want to overreact, but the point is, if there's some type of changing of the guard here in New York City, that's going to upset me and, you know, make me nervous because the Yankees have left some championships on the table the last couple of years, and not having that while you simultaneously watch the Mets, you know, embark on some type of championship run, it's not something that you want as a Yankee
run,
fan.
I think you're a little premature. I think the excitement is there, but you're not going to take this team and turn it into a championship team immediately. I mean, things need to happen.
But you can. Like,
maybe.
We've seen big turnarounds in baseball. It only takes a couple of players, right? Like, you've got Alonso, you've got DeGrom, you know, Syndergaard maybe back at some point.
Yeah,
it takes a couple of players to change your fortunes.
If they're going to hire a different GM or a different manager, what they're going to do, and we need to certainly, you know, keep our eyes open for that. But yes, you're right. I mean, could things change quickly? This is a team that tremendously underperformed last year.
They did.
I mean, more than any team in baseball, I think it's fair to say. Now, this was a weird season. It was 60 games. It was not, you know, run well. It was strange from the get-go. But they underperformed. If you actually press the right buttons this offseason, is it out of line or out of reach to think the Mets are a team that at a minimum is a playoff team? No, I don't think so.
Remember Dave. We're only 2 years removed from the Mets winning 86 games. And a lot of blown leads in that season, so you're not that far off, theoretically.
I know.
So I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you.
You're happy now. I don't think you'll be happy in the long term.
Well, because you become, you know, like what you
awful.
Start to do, yes.
I become awful is what I become. I become the guy who you're like, oh, would you just shut him up?
Exactly.
Because I don't have a lot, and that's the thing. Like, when you look at me, you should almost feel, you know, sorry for me.
No, I don't. You've been alive for four Super Bowls.
Please stop. I mean, it's a decade now.
You're saying that to a Jets fan. How dare you, animal?
Yes,
animal.
My professional football run has been much better than yours, but I hear you all the time talk about, oh, the Yankees have won one championship in the last 20 years. All the time.
Yeah, that's true.
So why can't I have that same argument?
I mean, good point.
It's very valid.
Yes, it is.
Now, don't belittle my feelings.
I'm not going to. But you do this thing where on social media, and then you got your radio show 6 days a week. So you become unbearable at times.
I become unbearable.
So right now, maybe I'll regret it.
Don't you think if you were on my side, you would adore me? Like, if you were a Mets, Giants, Rangers, Knicks fan, that you would cuddle up next to me and just adore me?
Absolutely. It's like a, you know, in basketball, they say, well, that player, if he's on your team, you love him. But if he's on the other team, you despise him. You are that
Samuelson.
As a sports fan. Yep.
Yes. I am the Ulf Samuelson of sports fans.
Yep. That's what you are.
I am the Claude Lemieux of sports fans.
You are the, Matthew Dellavedova of sports fans.
People don't like Matthew Dellavedova?
Yeah, because he, you know, it's like he scratches and claws. He becomes like that, you know, annoying defender. that you just despise if you're on another team.
I'm the Rudy of sports fans.
The Rudy, yes.
Do you remember Rudy where he says, you know, this guy acts like it's, you know, yep, the Super Bowl every single play.
Yeah,
and the coach says, you just define your entire career, O'Hara.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I am the Rudy of sports fans. You want to be in a foxhole with me if you root for the teams I root for.
So what would you say?
You would agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Now I got a question for you, David.
Yes, I love questions.
In the next five years, do the Mets get to a World Series?
Yes.
They do?
Yes.
Okay.
Now you got to remember, this is Christmas morning for a Mets fan. So I don't think there's anything you could ask me with a positive connotation that I wouldn't feel good about today.
Prisoner of the moment, you'd say, emotionally.
I feel great.
Okay.
I mean, think of your teams. Now, you're a Lakers fan.
I am. So you won a championship 3 weeks ago, by the way.
Yeah, that's the point. So, but think of your teams, guys, out there. You root for the Rangers? All right, well, you know what? Rangers haven't been good for a long time. And I understand that their runs, they went to the finals, but we haven't seen the Rangers win a cup in since 94, and they've won one cup in the last 80 years. And they went to the finals, and they went to the conference finals, and it was a good run, a team that was not great, but a good run, absolutely. But the Rangers have not been great for years. The Knicks have been, you tell me, Ty, is it fair to say the laughing stock of the NBA?
Yes, an atrocity.
Okay. The Giants, is it fair to say, have been, if not the laughing stock of the NFL, one of the laughing stocks of the NFL?
If my memory serves me correctly, the last 3 years, no one has a worse record, and that's despite the Browns going 0-16.
No one. No, the Giants are horrendous.
Yeah.
And the Mets, where they're asking you, find any group of 25 players and we'll put you into the postseason, and the Mets can't get to the postseason. In a year where it was harder to not make it than it was to make it, the Mets could not make the postseason.
That's correct.
I've had a lot. This has been a rough time, a rough period. Like when I go back, when I write the memoir and I do from the Giants winning the Super Bowl in February of 2012 up till now, it's a dark period, Ty.
Yeah, it's not great. And then you've got your quarterback, Daniel Jones. He can't stop turning the ball over, so I'm excited for Monday night. But yes, to your point, it's been a disaster for you, which is why yesterday when I saw the news about the Mets, I was sincerely happy for my friend, my good friend, Dave Rothenberg.
Thank you. Now I'd like to talk to my good friends, 800-919-3776, because you would agree, as a Mets fan this morning, Ty, there's really no reason at all to not be excited all the way to 100, right?
Yeah, fortune. You're going to have good fortune now. I got a stat for you, Dave.
Give me.
Since Game 5 of the World Series, you remember that one, 2015, the Mets?
Yeah.
346.
Lucas Duda threw the ball away.
That ball's still traveling in the air. 346 and 362, 16 games under 500 and just one playoff game.
Yeah.
And that's despite having DeGrom and Alonso. You've had some talent, and you haven't been able to do anything with it. So, yes, to your point, you should be ecstatic today.
Ecstatic. Let's be ecstatic together. 800-919-3776. There's a new sheriff in town, and we're going to take your calls about the man who runs the Mets, Steve Cohen, worth $14.6 billion, according to Forbes. $14.6 billion. You can't even imagine having money like that. $14.6 billion. I'll pull up the rankings, Ty, but I think the next up as far as richest owner is $4 billion.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
I was waiting for the first, you really think this thing is going to play out well for the Mets? And I got it on Twitter. Donald P. with a lot of numbers. It's hilarious that just because the Mets owner is a multi-billionaire, Mets fans think he's going to spend $300 million on the team with a meme of just laughter. Laughter. Well, I feel pretty good about it, Donald. And I think that there's a better chance that the Mets are going to outspend other teams around baseball than I did last week or last month or last year, 5 years ago or 10 years ago. I'll tell you that. I mean, why not? Why could he not go out and bring in Real Muto and or Springer and or Bauer? And really, in theory, in essence, anybody he wants. He can. Now, will he? I mean, does he come in and just go crazy like a kid in a candy store and just have, you know, players under each arms and walk up to the counter to pay for them. I don't know that you're going to get that. But do I think Realmuto, Springer, Lindor, Bauer, like some semblance of those guys is here in 2021? Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. 800-919-3776. We've waited long enough. Let's get to the calls. Let's start out with James in Spring Valley. Good morning, James. Lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. I'm very happy for you. You know, as a Yankee fan, I love competition, and I'm hopefully that Steve Cohen can bring all the good things for you, because I love seeing two great baseball teams in this city, because Lord knows the other sports, with the exception of hockey, we don't got that. So that's the first thing. Second thing I want to ask is, now that Steve Cohen will probably be official in the next few days, because all those legal procedures and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
What do you think, like, is going to be his general manager? It's obviously not going to be Brody, but who's gonna run with Sandy? Is Luis Rojas still going to be the manager?
I don't know. I think Omar Minay is a name that I would certainly keep an eye on as far as running this organization. My understanding is Steve Cohen likes him a lot. I don't think it'll be Brody. I'd be very surprised. I don't think it's going to be Rojas either. I think, which is, it's almost unfair, because, you know, to look at his body work after 60 games, and thanks to the call, James, I look at Brody and I think he did a bad job. I look at Brody and I look at what this team is, and I look at the trades he made, and I look at the guys he signed, and it's been two full years, and I think he did a bad job. I mean, you paid real money for Jed Lowrie. He did, I mean, nothing for you. You traded real assets for Marcus Stroman. He did nothing for you. Now he's a free agent. Do you bring him back? Maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe they look at Stroman and say, we'll bring in Bauer and Stroman, and we'll have Peterson, and all of a sudden look at our starting staff. Maybe they will, instead of Porcello and Waka. I mean, that moves like that are just their stretches, their reaches. It reeks of desperation. And I think that's done. Don in Smithtown. Donnie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I am so excited to finally have a fan running this team. Your close personal friend Michael Kay was going on last night about how much this hurts Jeff Will and Fred Wilpon, how much Fred Wilpon loves baseball. Fred Wilpon loves baseball, but he didn't love the Mets. He was a Dodger fan, and that was abundantly clear when
No, but this was his team. Listen, we're not going to sit here and trash the Wilpons for their entire tenure as owner of the Mets. They did not do an awful job from 1980 through 2013.
No, of course not. But I was born in 96, so I didn't see any of that. But when a little 12-year-old Don walked into Citi Field in 2009, what he saw was a shrine to the Dodgers, not to the Mets. So to have a guy come in who knows what we're all about, that loves the Mets, his wife loves the Mets, it's finally making me feel super positive about the future of this team.
How could you not, and thanks for the call, how could you not feel super positive about this team? Now, Brian, and here we go, and this is what I'm talking about, because Brian K. Photo must be a Yankees fan, Ty. He says, Woody Johnson, billionaire, bought the Jets. How's that working out? And it's a good question. And here's what I'd say. In football, it's a much more even playing field, right? You have a salary cap, and there's only certain parameters that you can go up to. So if you don't have the right person in place running the organization, which they have not, you're not going to succeed. And you haven't if you're the Jets. If you're the Mets, you can, even if you're not well run, and you can spend a lot of money, you can make up a lot of ground solely in that respect. Solely in that regard. I mean, look, if the Mets kept Brody and are trading away all their, you know, the Kalenic and all the Anthony Kay and all the pieces that you look at, you're like, I like that, I like that, I like that. It stinks. But there's a Band-Aid you can put on things, and that's just having money to be able to go out and, you know what, we'll sign Trevor Bauer. All right, we traded away Kalenic, we'll bring in George Springer. And you just chase it, and you can do that. Now, that's not the ideal. That's not what you're looking to have happen. You're looking for a combination of both. You want both things. You want to be a functional team at the management level, and you want to be able to go out there and say, you know what, we have a lot of money, and we're going to get this guy. And I think they can. This portion of the Dave Rothenberg Show brought to you by Showtime Pay-Per-View. Tonight, Showtime Pay-Per-View presents two of the best boxers in the world going head-to-head for the first time for the fight of the year. Gervonta Tank Davis takes on Leo El Terremoto Santa Cruz live on pay-per-view. That's tonight, October 31st. Now, Ty.
What's up, brother?
Are you a big Halloween guy?
Yes, I am.
You adore the Halloween.
I adore might not be the correct term, but I like it. Yes, I enjoyed dressing up as a kid and the whole trick-or-treating experience.
When you say you dressed up as a kid, you dressed up as a child, or when you were a child, you dressed up for Halloween?
Yes.
Or like as an adult, you enjoy like dressing up as a little boy?
No, I was a big Michael Myers guy. I got to say, that was probably like the costume I had like 3 years in a row.
You were Michael Myers from Halloween?
Yes.
Or the left-handed reliever in Major League Baseball?
Yes, that's also
like... Did you go as a lefty?
I went as a righty, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I dressed up as Lawrence Taylor many times.
Wow, I'm shocked.
Yeah. I mean, year after year after year.
Do you still dress up, or have you hung that up?
I have not. I'm not opposed to it if we were to go to some kind of an event, but I have not dressed up in a long time.
Are you doing that today? You've got the kids?
No, but it's pandemic. It's 2020. What are we going to do? Everything's shut down. You can't even go trick-or-treating in my town.
Maybe you go with some close family members who you know have been...
It's not the kind of thing we're doing. We're not doing like, hey, let's gather in large crowds outside the house.
Yeah, and this is the part of the year when you're really going
to
feel it. You've got Thanksgiving coming up. Yeah, you've got Thanksgiving coming up and Christmas, New Year's. We're really going to feel it the next couple of months here.
And it seems like it's getting worse, which is...
Yeah. I mean, we're turning a corner, though, so we have that to look forward to.
Stop it, really. I mean, stop embarrassing yourself.
Well, I'm just quoting what I've heard other people say.
But I'm not going to let you do this. You're trying to bring me down on what should be a celebratory day.
No, let's continue the celebration.
Yes, let's celebrate. Jerry and Summit, the great Jerry, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for taking my call this morning. I'm 40 years old. I've been a diehard Mets fan my whole life. And I don't know, man. I think the news yesterday when it finally was done may have been the second greatest day in my entire life as a Mets fan. And what I mean by that is
what was the greatest? So it was 86, you were small. Do you remember 86?
I do, because I was allowed to stay up late, and I remember like in the Astros series and, you know, those games going into like the wee hours and, you know, being allowed to stay up and watch those games. And, you know, so to me, after 1986, what do the Mets really have to be as excited about? I mean, they, you know, the chanting, sell the team actually happened. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. And, I don't know. Just wanted to share that with you guys. So
it's great, and I think Jerry encompasses how a Mets fan feels today. This is one of the great days in the history of the organization. And again, I don't want to destroy the Wilpons. I think it's somewhat unfair. I mean, I think since the Madoff thing happened, it's been really bad. They haven't had the money to spend. They've been chasing and chasing and chasing, and it's been very difficult. And they try to, you know, find creative ways. I.e. bring in a guy that's never been a GM before. That's never been in a front office before. I mean, what? I didn't like that move then, and I like it less now. Steve in Lynbrook. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Listen, I'm a long-time Yankees fan, 45 years, and I am thrilled for the Mets. And every Mets fan out there, there is nothing better for the sport of baseball than this move. You have the Yankees as a relevant team year in and year out, and now you have an owner that you can only hope is going to bring an accelerated approach to making it not just a competitor, a contender, year in and year out, and in the media capital of the world, with that kind of excitement and buzz around the sport, you can only hope it's going to help grow the sport.
Can you envision a time, Steve, in the next, I don't know, 3 to 5 to 10 years where you do not feel like this, where the Mets have taken over New York and you feel jealous and angry over the situation?
No, because it's, again, it's good for the sport, Dave. When you think of the sport as a whole and growing it, you know, with the youth, and it's a big move to have that kind of excitement, you know, in the city.
Steve, I appreciate the phone call. See, Steve's maturity level is much different than mine. If the Yankees had a moment like this, I don't think I would be as positive and optimistic. I would be upset that the Yankees may steal the spotlight from my team. But I give Steve and Ty credit. Because they... Very mature. Ty, your maturity level is tremendous this morning.
And there is a perfect example of what you're talking about. Let's just say one day something like this happens with the Jets. There's some, you know, change of leadership, and all of a sudden there's some type of positivity going forward. You're not going to come on the air and congratulate them. And,
well, I would say the Jet, like if I was a talk show host, so taking my fan hat off for a moment, I would say it's a great day for the Jets fan, right? Like, you know, I would say that. Yes. I would say if you're a Jets fan, you should be excited. But no, would I sit here and say, as a Giants fan, the fact that the Jets are entering great territory, or this is going to be a terrific move for the Jets, does that make me happy? No, I am not that person.
Absolutely not.
I am not.
But I will say this, Dave, as I mentioned last segment, if there comes a, we feel like this right now because, you know, there's no, you know, tangible evidence that the Mets are somehow.
No, this is unknown.
Yes.
Like if all of a sudden next week, the Mets and Steve Cohen go in there and rip DJ LeMahieu from your little arms, mm-hmm, and put him on our team, you might not feel the same way.
Yep. And if the Mets are better than the Yankees next season,
you may not feel the same way.
The emotions are going to change.
Or if the Mets win the World Series, yeah, sooner than the Yankees do, you may not feel the same way. Or if the Mets meet the Yankees in the World
and
Series
beat them.
And beat them
up,
Lord, you may not feel the same way.
Don't even say that, man.
Please, I had to live that.
Yeah, but I mean, it was 20 years ago, so I'm pretty sure you're on the cusp of getting over it if you haven't already.
No, I was so angry. I was so angry.
Did you throw ellipticals out the window?
I threw a remote control out the window.
Out the window?
Out the window.
How many stories high?
26.
Wow. What if it hit someone?
See, you don't. That would have been bad.
Would have been. You still don't know that it didn't.
Well, I would imagine I would have known had it hit someone.
You never know, man. You really never know.
I imagine that it wouldn't have ended well for that person, and they would have looked to find out whose remote that was.
Yeah, but maybe it just was never investigated. Sometimes crimes just go that way.
I used to ruin remotes to the point that I would walk into the Time Warner store on 23rd Street, and they'd be like, "Hey, Dave, how you doing?"
They knew who you were.
Like, I was like, "Norm." They're like, you need a new one? Like an X2000? Yeah. All right, here you go.
You were a serial remote thrower.
Oh. Used to just break them.
At some point, you just got to go in there and buy like 15 just to prepare for what's going to happen when your team loses.
Yeah, but I never wanted to do that because then it kind of gave me an out. At least this was some semblance of punishment.
I mean, that's true.
Four blocks to the store.
They knew who you were. That's pathetic.
Yeah. I'd open it and it was like, Dave. Like, hey, guys, how you doing? Wendy has the family. Good? Good. Can I get a new remote?
There's some entities who are not supposed to know who you are, like police stations. And in this case, remotes.
Well, police stations is different than Time Warner, no?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, a tad bit different.
A tad bit.
but different nonetheless.
A tad bit. 800-919-3776. Ty, do you know nothing? I'm petty. I'm immature. I mean, I can really take it to the depths that you very rarely have ever seen.
What? In what way?
I don't like losing. I don't like anything about it.
But you've been losing for a decade.
That's why it's so difficult.
I mean, outside of the wild card game, yes, you had the World Series the year before. The Giants, the Jets,
the Rangers, the Mets.
Yeah, but they lost in five. It was heartbreaking, too, because they were in every single game.
You could even argue could have won the series.
Yes.
Yes.
The rare time a team lost in five that you could argue could have or should have won the series.
Absolutely. But this is where we are, and now you see a little glimpse into what makes me tick. But do you think that more people are like me or like you?
In what way?
Like a petty, like takes enjoyment in other people's misery when it comes to sports teams, or do you think it's you who takes the high road?
I'm taking the high road, and it's only because...
I know, but do you think more people are like me or like you?
Yes, I think more people are like you.
You do?
Yes.
I think I'd like you to run this up the poll.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll do that then.
And I'd appreciate if you phrased it better than last week's question, which you kind of butchered.
It's not that I butchered it.
You semi-butchered.
I wanted to guard against throwing your wife under the bus and having people rip her on social media.
She had a misstep.
Yeah, but I don't have to contribute to that.
She had a tremendous misstep.
I'm defending her, and you're not.
if Kay was doing it to rub it in my face, or he didn't know, and he was just he'd showed a shot of him and Charlie watching the World Series at like 11:30 this week. He's like, he just refuses to go to bed.
Yeah,
this little first grader refuses to go to bed.
He absolutely listened to the show and wanted to rub that in your face.
You think that was just a big middle finger to me and my family?
I don't think he liked you very much, to be honest. I've heard some, you know, some stories about.
It's probably right. Yeah. Listen, I'm me. If Michael can't accept me for who I am, he accepts Peter.
What?
Peter's not exactly what's the picture of normalcy.
What's with the unprovoked drive-by on Peter? Great guy he is.
Peter's taken shots at me in the past.
But
Peter.
And he has nothing to do with this current conversation.
Yeah, I know, but I want to try to drag someone down with me. If I'm going down, I'm taking people down with me.
Yeah, I mean, but the one guy you want at this station to like you is Michael Kay.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And he doesn't like you very much.
He does not like me.
So you've got to find a way to get in his good graces.
No. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. If he doesn't like me, he doesn't like me.
That is a dangerous path you're walking by.
I mean, he could probably snap his fingers and I'd be out.
Have you gone in an instant?
He like John Gotti at the station.
One phone call.
Two snaps, I'm out.
I don't know if you'd be dead. But
not dead, but career-wise.
Yeah, your career's over.
Yeah. 800-919-37.
And that's Mr. Michael K, by the way, according to RJ.
Mr. Michael
K. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is sycophantic when it comes to Michael
K. Mr. Michael K.
It's uncomfortable what he does.
I love it.
Uncomfortable. Now I'm getting texts from my wife. What was my misstep?
Well, she should text you about how I defended her, because she really likes me. She's a big fan of mine.
Who's not?
I've got her in my corner. That matters a lot to me.
Maybe one day I'll get her in my corner. 800-919-3776. Now I just got from someone that in the industry. It says, you, petty, No.
Love it.
People listen to this show, Ty.
Yeah,
this is going to make your career.
This show?
Yes. I believe that one day you're going to sprout into huge things based off your participation on this show.
So you're saying that you're good for my career?
I think I'm great for your career.
But isn't that, I think what's understated is that it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
I don't think I get much out of it at all, to be honest.
Really?
No.
Wow, that's
let's take a break
because
we're late. And you've let this get out of control, so let me get it back on the rails.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
You can try, as we saw last week. No success at all. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Ty, I think we need to revisit before we start this week what happened, in fact, last week on Stump Rothenberg.
You know what? I'd actually love to do that.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm surprised that you're so excited, unless there's an ulterior motive from you. But go ahead.
Might be. So I talked to some family, and they're not exactly excited for me to do this. What did we say we had to do? A full body waxing.
Can Jake Montgomery, who was on the air during the high school football shows, can he chime in here? I'd like to hear from him as well.
Sure.
Okay.
How's it going, Dave?
Good morning, Jake. How are you?
I am doing great.
All right. So you just started working the show, and you're unfamiliar with this. Do you know the wager that was made last week?
I didn't hear the wager last week, but I just want to say I'm a big fan of Stump Rothenberg, and this is like being behind the scenes for your favorite concert or Broadway show. I'm very excited.
Wow, high praise.
As you should be. Now,
there we go.
Last week, Ty said if I were to go 8-0, I think it was it 9-1, he would walk up and down a major New York City street with a sandwich board that says, I love Stump Rothenberg, and just do that for a while.
Yes.
And then we got to like 7-0, and we got to 8-0, and I said, listen, I'll give you an out here, Ty. I said, if I get the next one right, you have to do a full body waxing and show your face on live video. And he agreed to that. That's where we left off, Jake. Now you're up to speed. Now, Ty would like to react to that. Go ahead.
All right. So here is what I'm going to put on the table. I am in court for whatever I'm being accused of. I'm now going to ask the judge to plea it down to a lesser offense.
All right. The judge is listening.
Okay.
The judge is in a good mood today.
So let's put this on the table. Let's say if Dave Rothenberg goes, I don't know, 8-1 today, then we can, whatever you want, like we can do that in addition to what happened last week with the full body waxing.
Right.
But if he fails to do so, we'll plea that full body waxing down to just a Dave Rothenberg, Stump Rothenberg t-shirt at whatever the next engagement I'm going
to
attend.
No, I'm not one to do that. I'll tell you why. Because the odds of me duplicating last week's performance are slim to none. So dude, why would I allow you off of the punishment that you have to only wear a Stump Rothenberg t-shirt? I'm not willing to. Maybe at some point I will, but I'm not willing to do that this week, no.
We got to find a way to get out of this full body waxing.
And I'll give you an opportunity at some point. Now, if I go 8-0 or 9-1, what do I get this week?
I don't know. What a dinner. $67 million worth of a dinner. How about that?
I'll take a dinner.
Okay.
At a lovely restaurant, yes?
Sure.
All right. I'll take it. 8-1 dinner already, a full body waxing live on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter for the world to see the facial reactions. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. I feel good about today.
You feel like you've screened these people well?
Yes. They are as screened as one could be.
All right. Let's start out with Paul in Bay Ridge on a segment that has Jake very excited, known as Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Paul. Welcome aboard.
All right. Good morning, Dave. Excited to lead off here.
Go ahead.
So we usually go baseball, football with you, but I know you're such a Renaissance man, so I'm going to go movie horse racing.
Oh,
okay?
God. I think I'm in trouble already, to be honest.
All right. In the movie A Bronx Tale, when the guys go to Aqueduct Racetrack, what was the name of the horse they bet on?
Oh, I don't remember. I remember it was the heavyset guy, and he mushed it, and they were furious with him. I do not remember the name of the horse. It's a nice question, but I do not remember the name of the horse. And I remember that they ripped the tickets up before the race even ended, but I don't remember the name of the horse.
All right, do you want to throw something out there, or can I give it to you?
I mean, I you can give me a hint if you'd like. I mean, we'll call it a loss, but you could give me a hint if you'd like.
Tough to come up with a hint for it. It's, I guess the name of the horse is involving Superman.
Is it Kryptonite?
That's it.
Okay. All right, that's a loss, though. 'Cause it didn't take long. There you go. So, Ty, you're free and clear.
Not off to a great start. 0-1. Wait.
Good question, though. And here's the beauty of me and the genius of me. I can have a question like that thrown my way, not get it right, and still appreciate it for the question it was.
But see, here's the thing. There's always that anxiety for me because you somehow find a way after saying I have no chance, I'm drawing dead.
But I didn't know that one.
And throwing something out there and magically getting it correct.
I just didn't know that one. In retrospect, it does seem familiar. But at that moment, I just didn't know it. And that's okay.
And you're like the Golden State Warriors. You can be down 25 in the third quarter, and it makes a miraculous comeback.
It's never really over. Let's get back to 500. Jake in Caldwell. Jake, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, how are you? It's been a while.
I'm okay, Jake.
All right. So yesterday was the anniversary of George Bush's first pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
And the first play of that game, right after the first pitch, was a Yankee. It was a Yankee error. Who committed the error?
Oh my God! I mean, Ty, you've really lined them up today, huh?
They came correct, man. They saw what happened last week, so.
I mean, they
guns
are
blazing.
Because it's not gonna be Jeter. Error of games. That's. I guess that's game three. Ugh, I really. I'm going to take a guess here. I'm going to say Scott Brosius.
Alfonso Soriano.
Go for two. I don't love that question as much. I thought the first one was a better question. Would you agree? Like, that was a broader, better question. Like, who made an error, you know?
But it was right at, like, it happened
I understand.
To start
Listen, I don't
the game.
Think, I don't think it's like the guy called last week with the 1953 movie, you know, whatever it was, who never heard of the movie, I thought was awful.
Yeah.
This, I didn't love it. I thought the first question was better. Still 0 for 2. Let's go, Steve, in Brooklyn. Steve, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
All right, Dave, after those first two, let's get to a real good, like, sports question here. Let's get
you would agree that that last question was hardly sensational, right?
I did ask you many moons ago who caught the first pitch from George Bush, which is a good trivia. The first error, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so baseball. Clayton Kershaw played in 19 postseason rounds before the 2020 World Series, the most played before appearing in a World Series that led to a title. Who is the only player to play more rounds without ever winning at all?
So most postseason rounds, not games.
Most postseason rounds without winning at all. Kershaw had 19. This player had more. One more.
Obviously it's going to be within the last 25 years. I'm going to say Rafael Palmeiro.
No, with 20 rounds, Kenny Lofton.
That's 0 for 3. Ty, I mean, you feel good about yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so can I just say something here, a little bit of an addendum? Mm-hmm. You are so bad, I think we do have to go with what I offered.
Well, Ty, it doesn't work like that. It has to be agreed upon. Yeah, it's like me saying, Mr. Cohen, you're so wealthy, you need to leave me $10 million upon your death. I can't do that.
Or it's like saying, Ty, you're so...
I can't force you into things.
Oh, wow, the irony. It's like saying, Ty, you're so wealthy, you have to give me something more than a steak dinner.
No, I didn't say you have to. I mean, I would think that you should. I think that a decent human being who has a close friend wouldn't say, I'm worth $65 million. Let me buy you a piece of meat.
But you'd have to admit, Dave, this is an abomination on your part. 0-3.
Yeah, I think my head's probably not in the game as well.
Oh, excuses.
Yeah, I mean, I got the Steve Cohen. I got last week's.
Yeah, you're playing hurt. You're playing. That's what happens in basketball.
I'm fine. You know what? I feel good about it. Dempsey in the Bronx. Dempsey, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, David.
Good morning, Dempsey.
All right. Well, we're going to make you go 0-4. I got your option, your pick, NFL or MLB. Where do you want to go?
I'll go NFL.
All right. Who is the last player to pass for a touchdown, receive a touchdown, and rush for a touchdown in an NFL game?
So he's passed for a touchdown, rushed for a touchdown, and what?
And received and caught a touchdown, received a touchdown. All at least one in the game, all three. Who is the last player to do that?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh, you got it. Good.
Oh, I did, Ty. It's a brilliant answer, Ty.
Not bad.
It's brilliant.
Not bad. I mean, you're 1-3.
You must like this as well. He comes in guns a-blazing. Oh, Dave, you're about to be 0-4. He's talking trash. And then for me to just hit that out of the park, you adored that, didn't you?
Well, listen, what
you
I don't...
You adored it. Be honest.
To get you to 1-3... It's like you're pimping a home run and you're down seven.
I'm pimping nothing.
You're down
seven. But for him to be mocking me as he's throwing the pitch and then me to hit it 465.
I mean, given the evidence, given the resume, he had every reason to mock you.
Listen, I hope that when they rip the hair out from the roots, that the pain on your face is just, it's excruciating at this very moment.
Okay, that makes you a bad guy. But we continue.
Maybe it does.
We continue.
Maybe it does. 1-3. You think I see 500 today?
I won't bet against it.
Okay.
You've been pretty good, but we'll see.
Fran in Massapequa. Fran, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, how you doing, buddy?
What's
good
up,
morning,
Fran?
You automated. I don't know what to say. 0-3. Thank God you got that question. I mean, this is like watching Wayne Gretzky hit the post, Michael Jordan missing the great, end of the game shot.
But it happened. I mean, Fran, Michael Jordan missed shots. Wayne Gretzky, did not win a cup after Messier left. Things happen. Go ahead. What do you got?
No, I totally agree with you.
My demise is premature here, Fran. I'm 1-3. It's not the end of the world. What do you got?
100%, sir. Okay, you ready? How many World Series titles did the great Babe Bambino Ruth win with the Boston Red Sox? How many World Series did he win as the Red Sox? As a Red Sox.
But still Red Sox,
Yeah, Red Sox. Yeah,
How many did he win as a Red Sox? All right, so that's a good question. So he played with the Red Sox for, I believe, from 19. He left the Red Sox, I think, in 1919. I think he won three. I think he won 15. Because I think he won seven all told. I'm going to say three.
Oh, man, I just can't stump you. You are absolutely correct. You are an absolute, you're the man. You're the man.
And there you go. And that's a beautiful question, by the way. Sensational question. And Ty, all of a sudden, this awful, horrendous, hideous start is now sitting glaring at you at 2-3
yeah.
in the face.
But listen, coming off 8-0 last week.
Yeah, no,
I believe
it's never going to get back to that.
8-2 the week before.
If I finish above 500, I have salvaged the day.
You have. You have.
Andrew in Massapequa. Andrew, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg. Oh, I'm told no, that's not a good person to go to. Let's go to break. See, this is the beauty of live radio, especially during a pandemic, people. Things happen that can be unexpected. But we brought you into our lair, and at 2-3, we will continue Stump Rothenberg right after this on 98.7. ESPN. Stump Rothenberg returns, 98.7 ESPN. 2-3, not a great start, but not the end of the world. Now, Ty.
What's up?
You're already in the hole with a full body waxing.
I am.
Do you have a question today? Or you're without question today?
Well, it's funny you asked that. Mm-hmm. Our very own program director extraordinaire sent me an email last night, and he said, here would be a good question to throw at Dave Rothenberg.
Really? Now, this would be the great Ryan T. Hurley.
This would be the great Ryan T. Hurley.
Now, let me ask you, because you're my last line of defense.
Yeah.
Do you envision, you see this as a really solid question from Ryan?
I see it as a bit of
there was some hesitation there.
No, there was some hesitation.
I think, because it's management, don't let them bully you.
Listen,
integrity of the program, Ty, comes first.
I think it's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking along the lines of what, you know, would satiate your hunger, so to speak.
Satiate would be the correct pronunciation.
Satiate your hunger,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, I've never heard satiate before.
I don't know if you're going to love it. So how about this? How about I pose it to you? And you'll let me know whether or not you think it's a good question.
Yeah, but I can see the writing on the wall. Because if you pose it and I say it's not good, people are going to say, well, that's just because you didn't know it.
No, that's not fair. Because there was a question that you didn't know earlier, you know, last segment. And you said, look, it's a good question. I just didn't know it.
Oh, okay. I'm willing to accept that. But being that you're uncertain whether it is a passable question does concern me.
Let's just do it. Let's just do it. We're wasting time.
All right.
So four times now in World Series history, has the series concluded on a called third strike.
Ooh.
We saw it happen the other night. Adames struck out to clinch that World Series for the Dodgers. It's happened three other times. Can you tell me one of the other three times?
I think Sergio Romo actually struck out Miguel Cabrera, if memory serves correctly.
Let's have some fun here. Can you tell me another? This one is a little closer to home for you. This one's a little closer to home.
Closer to home for me. It's not a Yankees World Series though, is it?
I don't know. Play the game and you'll find out.
Well, I've already played the game. I already won the game. Why do I continue with the game? I don't want to continue with the game because I'm going to have to take time. I'm going to have to
2015,
back.
Wade Davis struck out Wilmer Flores.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know. This is embarrassing on my part, but in 1925, Red Oldham struck out Goose Gosling.
I got it right.
No, you did. I'm just giving you the
of Heroes Parade.
I'm just giving you all the information because the people sitting in the car are going to wonder what the other three times were.
But I don't like that you you said, can you name one? I name one, and then you pressed me for more.
Well, I just wanted to see if you knew the other
answers. I don't think that was very nice.
Okay.
And I'm going to take victory and do my victory lap. Sean in Manhattan, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg, Sean. Good morning, Sean. Sean's not there. Let's go to Marvin one of my favorite names, Marvin in Glenhead. Marvin, you're next up on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave?
Is Marvin not there either?
Dave?
Dave? Good morning, Marvin.
Dave?
Yes.
You here?
I'm here.
Okay. Got a question for you.
All right.
The Odd Couple was a play, it was a TV show, and it was a movie. I guess the order would be play, movie, TV show in that order. Who played Oscar and Felix in all three versions?
All right. So the TV show, this seems like a multi-layered question, by the way.
Okay. I could make it, I could narrow it down if you'd like.
It's Tony Randall and Jack Klugman are the TV show.
Correct.
But that's not going to be enough for you, is it?
No, that's not the hard one.
So, what do you want me to answer?
Who played Felix in the play? Who played Felix in the play? The original Felix in the play.
On Broadway?
Correct.
So that was the first one, I believe. Neil
that
Simon
was the first one, correct.
Of course. I don't think I know. I don't think I know.
I'll tell you what. How about I give you a clue?
No, I don't want a clue. I don't like a question.
Okay.
I don't want a question. I mean, yeah, TV, movies, play. You're asking for a lot. No.
No. Well, I'm just do the play then.
I don't know the play. I don't know the answer. What's the answer?
Art Carney.
The great Art Carney from The Honeymooners. All right. So I guess I'll take that as an X. You can play the X if you'd like. And that's 3 and 4. Not the most beautiful question, but that's okay. Rick and Patterson, finish us off here, Rick. You're next up on Stump Rock.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm okay. You got something good here, Rick?
I hope so, Dave. This is my first time calling, so.
You love the segment, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I set my alarm just to make sure I'm up for it.
That a boy.
Okay. What was the last U.S. city to host a World's Fair?
All right. So I was actually at a World's Fair in New Orleans. I think it was New Orleans. That was in 1984, and I was there on opening day. I'm probably one of the first 100 people in. Now, New York, of course, has hosted the World's Fair. I think they've hosted it twice. But I think that's New Orleans in 1984.
Final answer?
Oh, God. Yes.
You're correct.
Yes, I am. All right, Ty. And that'll do it. From 0-3 to 4-4 is pretty good work.
Yeah,
and
not bad.
I know
bad.
That you don't like to give me credit, but I think that's a pretty good job.
No, I'll be honest and say that's not bad. That's not bad.
It's well done by me.
You could have wallowed in your own misery
no
and
wallowing.
Failures. Yeah, you could
it
have done
it was
that.
Nothing. I picked myself up. I dusted myself off, and I went 4-1 in the final five.
You did.
All right. Stump Rothenberg brought to you by the law offices of the great Andrew M. Cohen. Do you have any idea what the M stands for in Andrew M. Cohen?
I'm going to say Mercury.
If I told you it was the same name of Richard M. Nixon, would that help you at all?
Wow. Richard M. Nixon.
Yes.
It might help me.
Okay. What would it be then?
It may on, some instances, I should say.
How about
say.
This instance?
I'm going to be honest. In this instance, it's a little tough. But I'm going to go with...
Milhouse. Andrew Milhouse Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, Millis, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen, Andrew Milhouse or Millis Cohen.
Well, sometimes the H
achieve.
Can be silent, you know?
Yeah, I know it can.
It can.
Your needs through very careful legal planning. Like if a name change. Say your middle name is Millis and you want to change it to Milhouse, you call Andrew M. Cohen. Call 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com.
What if you want to get out of a full body waxing? Can I call Andrew M. Cohen?
516-877-0595. Like, I'm sure he will try to work it out for you. He can call on your behalf and say, we'd offer this in exchange for a full body waxing. Or visit him at amcohenlaw.com. And I believe, because you're friends of with me, you would probably get preferential rates, Ty.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Say this about my Friday show, but it's also the case here. It's the culmination of all the work from Sunday till now. It's pretty much, you know, I'll be honest, Dave, maybe at midnight on Saturday till the morning game start, I'm not thinking about the NFL. So it's a 7-day endeavor, and this is the culmination.
Serious question for you.
Yes.
How much time do you actually invest in like researching and analyzing and just spending time with each game? Like, do you spend morning till night during football season?
So for NFL is my specialty. Like, my knowledge of college is limited. I understand very much the concepts gambling wise. And you know, the best teams a little bit, but NFL is kind of become, you know, my specialty. So I would say more than ever. And I'd say it's upward. And again, honestly, I do work probably 60 hours a week during football, and there's probably a good 30 that's just handicapping.
Wow. So during the non-football season, your feet are up at the pool and you just...
Well, I do a national radio show 5 days a week, but I'll say that it's not, I'm not like a huge, like, who's the third reliever for the Mets.
That wouldn't be your specialty.
No.
All right, let's continue. Vikings-Packers. Earlier this season, Minnesota was mauled by Green Bay. They beat them up. This is the second matchup between these two. Packers are home laying 6. Now, second string running back, which I'm sure doesn't have a huge impact on this game, right?
No, typically not.
All right, so there you go. Packers laying 6 at home against Minnesota.
Okay, so remember, that Green Bay game was the first game of the year. And let's think, and this is a good lesson for us about how to use preseason expectations. So whenever someone has an algorithm, which is just a fancy way of saying they got a mathematical formula to predict how good or project how good a team is, they have a concept called priors. And what does priors mean? It means that with only 16 games in the regular season, that oftentimes, like, let's look at DVOA, right, from Football Outsiders as an example of a mathematical formula to say how good a team is. They keep priors far into the season. I know they still have them now, as in, if you thought Minnesota was going to be a 9.5 win team, which means a pretty good team, you still, regardless of their record, account for some of those expectations coming in, because it's still only been 6 or 7 games. And think about it, if you're 6 games into the baseball season in 162, and let's say the Yankees are 6-0. You don't think the Yankees are going to go undefeated. The priors mean something, but so do the evidence that's coming in. In the NFL, I'm not sure even in week, and there's debate on this, but I think in week 15 or 16, you still got to consider those priors. But paradoxically, you can't ignore if a team is, I mean, let's look at the Dallas Cowboys. Now, with Dak's injury, you can make the case, oh, well, that's different. But let's look at Minnesota. Can you make the case his team is anything like what we thought it was going to be? And as we mentioned, Detroit's buying when it comes to trade acquisitions and such.
Minnesota's selling.
Mm-hmm. That not only subtracts that talent from the team, it's the psychology of it. Where how hard are you really going to take that shot? That, let's be honest, some players have to play sometimes. If you have a choice, as in, oh, I could, I might not. If all of a sudden it's like, well, heck, the team's selling. The team, just to save that $3 million, let go of a good pass rusher. I think it when a team's winning, the momentum builds. When a team's losing, the momentum builds. And Minnesota's out of it. That loss to Seattle a couple weeks ago, that was it. That was like the, uh-oh, now what? And I'm not anxious to play them. And not to mention, finally, quickly, Minnesota's actually been lucky. If you look at turnovers, you look at conversions between, or third and fourth down conversions, you look at finally field goal or touchdown ratios. You can put a luck index number on an NFL team. Injury luck would also be in the mix, not being injured. And Minnesota's been lucky, and they have a horrible record.
So do you like Green Bay?
No, because I don't want to lay the – I mean, what we know about Green Bay is that they are hit or miss on effort when they have if the win comes down to their effort, they're hit or miss.
So is this an avoid game?
For me, it is, yes.
Okay. All right, we'll do one more. People are lined up, RJ. I know you want to analyze the games, but I think we got to get to the people as
That's fine. That's fine. But what I'll say is this. Most of the time, the game's a pass. Everyone wants a magical pick.
Right. They want a selection on every game, and you're not going to
And I
that.
Can give you a lean if you tell me, is it a half point one way or the other? I'm fine with that.
How many games a week do you say you would give the advice of lay money on this team?
Now, here's the distinction. If it's the NFL side, as in the point spread, it's going to be an average of two a week. So less than
so
night.
Not a lot.
But if now you count first quarter, first half, totals, team totals,
right.
Correlate parlays, there's a lot of ways to get at it. Prop bets, et cetera.
All right. One more game. Quick break. Come back. Get to some calls. And then a lot more games. Patriots, Bills. Edelman is out. Harry is out. Newton's been awful. Game's in Buffalo. Bills are giving 3.5.
This is the third time I've done this, Dave. You're going to appreciate it. It's fallen flat twice, but I'm stubborn. Remember Emily Valentine?
On.
Yes.
If Beverly I go Hills. Back here, and I'm wrong, I'm going to be embarrassed, but if I'm right, on Beverly Hills 90210?
Exactly.
Okay.
So Brandon Walsh was having sown his wild oats. Emily Valentine showed up from
she
up north.
Crazy, if you remember.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she showed up from up north. She was playing guitar. She had the, let's say the masculine haircut. And, I mean, Brandon fell head over heels. Well, Emily was trying to talk Brandon into doing ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
I do.
And Brandon
I believe
said,
they actually called it euphoria.
That's correct.
Yes.
Now, boy, I knew you'd know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I mean, if you had a segment of trivia, that'd be so interesting. But here's what happened. They had their falling out, and then Emily Valentine put a cake. She wanted to show her love for Brandon. She put her cake and put it at the doorstep. And when Brandon walked out and saw it, he goes, that looks like some good cake. But Brenda said, the twin, said, no, there might be ecstasy laced in there. I still remember that.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, you asked me if I knew who Emily Valentine was and then said Brenda the twin, like the Shannon Doherty character.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, everybody knows Brenda and Brandon.
Well, that's if you why I'm surprised you would need to say the twin.
I'm talking to the audience, Sam. I'm not talking to you.
Okay.
I don't know if you realize we're broadcasting right now.
Oh, yeah. I said those two friends just chopping it up.
I know you're in your pajamas, but we're still broadcasting. Okay. So now... Here's the analogy. It comes all around. Is the cake that's out there on the curb, all right, or your door stoop, is the Bills. Because it looks mighty good. It's like, wait a minute. The Patriots aren't very good, are they? They just got beat by the Denver Broncos, a team that at home is getting 3 against the Chargers. They just beat the Patriots, and then in a must-win game, the Patriots got dismantled by San Francisco. Not just Cam, but the defense looked horrible. The effort level for the Patriots looked horrible. Maybe it was Tom Brady all along. You can see the thoughts in people's heads, and that's that delicious cake. But it's like, wait a minute, that cake's on the stoop. Who knows where it came from?
It's stoop cake.
It could be dangerous. There's something about it that we don't know. It looks good. It's tempting. But it's scary.
So avoid
the cake? That's the Bills.
Avoid the cake?
I'm scared.
All right.
I actually hit it.
Like, can I go Patriots here? Can I have a Danish? Or am I just avoiding sweets at all costs here?
Well, here's the thing, though. You don't kick the cake over and order, like, Uber takeout. Like, you got to look at the cake and decide to eat it or not.
All right. So we're avoiding this game.
I got to tell you, Dave, that this was triple as good as any of the other versions of this I did. And you were unimpressed.
Unimpressed. I thought I made it happen.
But then why were you?
How many people do you think are going to know Emily Valentine?
I think a lot.
Remember the rave with the guy wearing the four shirt for Euphoria. This
well, some people listen. Some people had dates in high school, and some watched Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, and I did both. So it worked out. 800-919-3776. We got to get to a lot of games. We got to get to a lot of calls.
But are you following? Are you following that?
Yes, it looks beautiful and attractive. It's but tempting. You don't think it is.
It's scary because Bill Belichick might be in the bushes, ready to come out and whack you over the head with a baseball bat if you eat the cake at the stoop.
That's right. Don't eat it. There could be euphoria in the Bills.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.